Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for this morning, and we thank you for your wonderful, true, and perfect word. I just pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts to your word this morning as we celebrate Mother's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, we are going to look at Mary as we celebrate Mother's Day. And a lot of times, as Protestants, we shy away from looking at the life of Mary. We do not believe that Mary was perfect. We do not believe that Mary ascended into heaven as a resurrected person. She was somebody just like you and me. But there's some truths about Mary and how she lived her life that I think we can incorporate into our lives, not only as moms this morning as we celebrate Mother's Day, but also as all people of faith as we are here worshiping our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's first turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And let's look at verse 26. Luke 1, starting in verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." In verse 28, favored one, what does that mean, favored one? Did that mean that Mary was more special than you and me? Well, of course, the answer to that is no. Favored one in the original text means full of grace. She's full of grace. We're full of grace. In fact, in Ephesians, it describes us as people full of grace. Mary was a believer. She believed that God would send a Messiah to redeem his people. She walked in faith. I think that's so important that we realize that Mary was a believer, and because she was a believer, God used her. Some people say, "Well, you know, I want to be used by God." Well, first of all, you're not going to be used by God unless you are a believer. And second of all, you will not be used by God until you are willing to walk in faith according to His Word, which brings us to verse number 38. As you look at verse number 38, she said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word." Now, let's look at that and think about that in a little bit more detail. First of all, Mary was engaged to Joseph. And here the angel tells her that she would conceive a child. Well, according to the laws of the day, being pregnant out of wedlock, being accused of adultery, had the penalty of stoning. So when Mary said, "Let it be to me according to thy word," what she was saying is, "God, I trust that you are in control and everything will work according to your promises." See, that verse 38 needs to be a phrase that we use every day as we walk in the path of Christ. Whether we're here this morning celebrating as moms, or whether we are here as dads, or whether we're here as young adults or children, we need to be able to say, "Let it be to me according to thy word." Because when we say that, when we live that, what we're saying is that, "God, I trust. I trust that you are in control. I trust that your word is correct. And I'm going to live my life knowing that you're on your throne and you are in control." Mary walked in faith. But not only did she walk in faith, but she was also a person of humility. Now, we can all relate to being a proud parent, can't we? We can all relate to that. We can all relate to wanting our kids to do well. Now, can you imagine? Here the angel just tells Mary that not only will she bear a son, but he will be the Messiah to the nation of Israel and Savior to the world. Wow, one could get the big head on that. Look at me. But that's not what Mary did. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 46. She said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. In my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." Now, when you think about Mary in that particular statement, she said, "You've regarded the lowly state." See, Mary knew who she was, and Mary also knew who God was. And she knew that she was lowly and God was to be exalted. She also, by that statement, proved that she was a person of her word. She knew the word. She knew the covenant promises of Abraham. Her statement could be a sermon in itself. See, for us to be used by God, for us to be godly parents, we need to be able to rest in God. We need to rely on His Word. We have to know His Word. Let me ask you a question. Can you be a godly parent and not know the Word? No. Because if you don't know the Bible, then all you're doing is you're just reacting. But if you know your Word, if you're a student of the Word, you can live your life according to the truth that God has given us. If not, if you take away the Word, all we do is we become people of emotion, don't we? We just are acting purely out of emotion. Some people worship that way. They worship just purely out of emotion. They come to church on Sunday. They get all excited. The church service that they go to is built up to be emotional, to get you all revved up. and then you leave. And because truth wasn't taught, you're like a ship without a rudder. You have no bearing. My friends, emotions do not sustain you in life. It's just the truth. The truth is what sustains. The truth is what allows us to have the proper perspective in any situation. Mary showed through this statement that she had the proper perspective. She knew who God was, and she knew who she was. We've been studying the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Beatitudes, it's not a one-time thing. We should live the Beatitudes every day. And as we live the Beatitudes, the first Beatitudes, what? Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. God cannot work through us unless we realize that we are in desperate need of a Savior, not just when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, but every single day. We need to realize that we are poor in spirit. Mary had a humble heart. Well, Mary also rested in the Lord. And let's go back in Luke 2 to the time of Jesus' birth. And as we go through and we look at Jesus' birth, let's look at verse 15. And in verse 15, it says, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them," referring to the shepherds, "into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all these things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." She kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I would submit to you today that one of the great tragedies of our modern era is that there's too much talking and not enough pondering. We do not have a contemplative life anymore, do we? What does the Bible say? The Bible says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Mary pondered all these things in her heart. When you rest in the Lord, when you know that God's in control, you ponder things in your heart. Mary wasn't out pushing the buttons or pulling the strings. She wasn't making things happen, was she? She pondered the Word of God in her heart. We need to do that. We need to be still and know that He is God. We need to rest in Him. We need to wait on the Lord. Mary did that. Well, the next thing that Mary did is that she was a consistent worshiper of God. Same chapter in Luke 2, verse 41. And as they go to Jerusalem for the Passover, you know, when you read the Bible, sometimes it's easy for you to just bounce along and read a sentence and not give it much weight. Look at verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. They were regular worshipers. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. We need parents who take their children to church. That's what we need. That's what this country is missing. Some parents say, "Well, I'm going to let the kid decide." Guess what they're going to decide? We need parents who consistently get up on Sunday and say, "We're going to go to church and we're going to worship the Lord. we're not going to let other activities get in the way of us worshiping the Lord. It needs to be a standard. If you're old enough to remember Blue Laws, when our country actually took a stand and said, business needs to be idle on Sunday. Think about how we've changed and look at our country at where we are now. We went from a government that encouraged church attendance because the stores were closed. We went from that. We allowed that to creep in. That creeped in. All of a sudden, businesses started opening up. That happened sometime in the 70s. And then we went to, well, you know, it's kind of legalistic. It's kind of legalistic to say that you got to be here on Sunday. We don't need to be legalistic people. I remember people saying, well, I can worship God in nature. I can be on the lake and I can be fishing and I can worship God. And it doesn't matter where I'm at. And then we started seeing events being scheduled on Sundays all across America. There's Little League on Sundays. I played Little League every single year that I grew up. Little League was not on Sundays. Little League would not have to be on Sundays if enough godly parents would stand up and say, we're not going to be there because me and my family are going to be at church on Sunday. See, the problem isn't that we have organizations that don't respect church. The problem is that not enough believers respect church. Mary went and worshiped the Lord. She was a godly mom. And I would not be in this pulpit unless I had a godly grandmother that encouraged my beliefs in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have an impact as a mom. You can have an impact as a grandmother. And kids pay attention to what you do. It's not what we say as parents and as grandparents, is it? It's what we do. It's how we act. And you only have to look and ask yourself a question. What do I want my children to do? How do I want my children to raise their children? And that would cause you to say, I need to be a consistent attender. The statistics are clear. When parents don't go to church, then the kids grow up and they don't go to church. And if you don't go to church, you don't hear the Word of God. If you don't go to church, you do not get challenged in your beliefs. It's so very important that we encourage our kids to go to church. Mary was regular in her worship. Well, Mary was also steadfast. Turn to John 19. John 19, starting in verse 25. We're at the cross. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and this disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Mary was at the cross. Mary was steadfast. You know, one of the things I think about are the people that I want to sit down and interview and discuss things with when I get to heaven. Marry somebody that I want to sit down with. Because there's so much that we don't know. She was mom to Jesus. Now, there's got to be some stories there that we want to hear. But you know, as I think about Mary and as I think about her standing by her son as he paid the sin debt for you and me, there's a verse that I want to ask Mary about. because it relates to this. Back at Luke 2, when Jesus is dedicated at the temple, and look at verse 25, and it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by Spirit into the temple, and when their parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel.'" Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? That sounds good. But then look at what he tells mom and dad. Look at verse 33. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. And yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.'" And when you think about Mary standing by Jesus at the cross, you think about all the wonderful promises that she'd received concerning her son. But the thing I want to ask Mary is when you were standing by Jesus at the cross, did the words of Simeon run through your mind? This is what he was talking about. Because, see, we're not talking about just ink on paper here. We're talking about somebody who lived a life of faith that God worked through. She was a believer. She was faithful. She was steadfast in her worship. She knew her word. She had the attributes that every mother should want to be a godly mom. And you know what? Because of that, she was rewarded. Mary was rewarded. Turn with me in Acts 1. Acts 1, verse 9. Acts 1, verse 9. Referring to Jesus. "Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he," Jesus, "was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, and as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven.' Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." See, she was rewarded because she saw her resurrected son. She was rewarded because she knew that he would come back as Savior of the world. And she was rewarded because Jesus' brothers, at one point, did not believe. Now, can you imagine if she saw the brothers come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? See, we're rewarded when we live a godly life. It may not be in the terms that the world describes. It may not be riches or wealth or health. But we have a peace, don't we, that Paul says surpasses all understanding. We have a confidence knowing that God sets all things right in the end. See, that's part of being a godly mom and dad, is living our life according to the hope that we declare. See, as we walk in the Lord, as our actions meet what we are saying, Our children notice. Our communities notice. Our friends and our family notices. That our actions meet our words. Mary proved that it's just not an intellectual exercise, is it? She also proved that it's not always easy. Not always easy. And it doesn't always work the way that we think that it's going to. God's ways aren't our ways, are they? But she was steadfast. And what we need in our country today is we need people, moms, dads, anybody. We need steadfast believers. We got to have them. We need people that proclaim His truth to a world that is in darkness. Will you please join me in prayer? Our Father, we just praise You this morning. We praise You that You have given us Your Word for us to live by as a standard. It is the revealed truth. And I pray that we might be students of the Word. I pray that we might rest in Your Word. We praise You that You have given us the example of Mary and that she was a godly mother. I pray, Lord, that we might commit to be godly parents. I pray that we might proclaim truth. I pray that we might commit to be godly grandparents. I pray that we might share our faith without hesitation, not only to our families, but to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.